Our text today is Mark 1, 21 through 45, and if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1552. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And they cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching? With authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every corner. The word of God. Thanks be to God. Up where we were last week, continuing our journey into Jesus' ministry as it's described in the Gospel of Mark. Last week, we followed Jesus and John the Baptist into the wilderness, discussing how we experience the wilderness as a place, of course, but that it can also be a rich metaphor for describing an existential and emotional state. The wilderness, in that sense of the word, especially over prolonged or unplanned periods, can be a state, an emotional and spiritual state, that is lonely or uncertain or dangerous or dark. And there is, I imagine, not a one of us, me included, who has not endured such a wander in the wilderness. It's that place where you're not sure what will come next, and not sure you'll be able to take it, whatever it is. And we discussed how there isn't really a verbal or a theological route out of this wilderness, these places that life brings to each one of us at one time or another. how we can't honestly say to ourselves or to one another that it will get better, because who knows whether or not that will happen. And we can't presume to say that the pain of others has some inherent meaning or purpose, because we are not them. And as much as we want to, we can't save or rescue ourselves or those we love. And so, in the face of these realities, what is the good news? Because Mark opens by saying, this is the good news. So what is the good news that is traveling through the wilderness to meet us? The good news that we once again talk about this week. The good news is that though we may be angry or sad or fearful of the darkness that surrounds us in the wilderness, we are not alone. We are not alone in the wilderness. Because in the Bible, the wilderness is the place that God shows up over and over again. And Mark 1, the text we read last week, is no exception. So at this season of Christmas, which is winding down, coming to a close, we remember that God loves us so fully that God took on a body. That this, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us at all times and in all places, is the good news. So this week, in the Gospel of Mark, in the text we just heard, we hear how this good news begins to unfold. That Jesus, fully human and fully God, continues his ministry, moving out into his world, which, like ours, was very often in the grips of brutality and despair. That it was a world in need of healing, filled with people in need of healing. And this is what Jesus immediately begins to do. He heals the people he encounters around him. Because Jesus, particularly as he's described in this gospel, in Mark, is deeply concerned with how bodies and spirits can be broken. The man afflicted with the unclean spirit, the mother-in-law of his friends who's sick with a fever, the leper who's lived on the margins of his culture for years. We meet all of them in this text through Jesus' restoration of their bodies and spirits. The kind of bodily healing described in this reading often presents, to say the least, challenges for contemporary readers. Because for many of us, the idea of faith healing presents a kind of spiritual and emotional strain. We feel the expectation of a literal belief that many of us can't quite summon. We don't know how to become or to remain Christians within a cultural and religious framework that seems to be asking us to absolutely believe this one set of things or absolutely disavow this other set of things. Or perhaps for others of us, the idea of faith healing provides some comfort or excitement or hope. This idea that there are mysteries or powers that go far deeper beyond our human comprehension, that might include things like what this text, written long ago, indicates. Or we might embrace a kind of modern understanding that there's no way these healings literally took place, but that their value for us is in these kernels of meaning they contain. That all the supernatural faith healing stuff is just a husk, a pre-scientific framework for us to discard to reach the timeless morality tale that can speak to us today. These are but three interpretations, very briefly explored, of many over 2,000 years that theologians and Christians have posited for Jesus' healing. And I don't want to take anything away from these frameworks or others or the interpretations that might be meaningful or useful to any of you, to us. But I want to propose another meaning that we might explore this morning, which is that these healing stories, as Jesus' ministry unfolds, provide us with a paradigm for showing up, for being present with one another, as God is present with us. We hear in Jesus' ministry the work not just of individual healing, but of collective healing. The healings that we hear about this morning show us that we could not be fully well and whole if there is injustice, suffering, or distress in our collective body. The writer of Mark puts it this way: that evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. All the people came. The whole city was there. Healing, in this sense, is a shared experience. We are accustomed to think of the healings described in this text and elsewhere in Jesus' story as being individual and personal. But leprosy and demon possession, as they're described in this story, are maladies that would have been shared by a collective culture. For example, the unclean spirit that Jesus casts out in his first healing could also be translated as an occupying force in the man, a force with whom Jesus fights and triumphs over. For a people whose land and institutions were occupied by the Roman Empire, who enjoyed no sovereignty, the language the writer of Mark chooses to use for this healing would have been a political and cultural commentary, a bold threat. Or take, for example, the person with leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease that afflicts individuals. But in Jesus' world, it also consigned a person to a deeply marginal existence, as Pastor Anna talked about. Outside of much of the daily life of a community, cast out for fear of spreading contagion, spreading uncleanness. That was the fate of people suffering from leprosy. And so Jesus' healings reveal who he chose to spend time with, to restore life to, offering perspectives about who is worthy of dignity and respect and love. By choosing those who others cast out or ignored or feared, Jesus implicitly, and sometimes in the Gospels more explicitly, offered a critique to his culture that, like ours, lifted up particular lives while ending or denigrating others. It is common to both Jesus' culture and, I think, to our own, to push to the margins, to ignore, or to discount those in our midst who remind us that we are all weak and fallible and in pain at particular times, who embody at that moment or in that particular place the failures of our own that scare us. We might go so far as to say that it is human nature to push away, to run away, to bury what frightens us, perhaps especially when we see it embodied in another human being. So the first step to healing, in a sense, is to be able to be present with ourselves when we are in pain, when we are scared. To cultivate the courage, the heart strength, to acknowledge and be present with our own weakness. Because when we are not afraid of the pain we find in ourselves, we're able to begin the work of being present for the suffering that we encounter in others and in the world. Jesus' healings show us that no experience of suffering or pain is isolated, even if when we are suffering, we feel isolated, or when we are not, we want to isolate and act as if it is so. We now seldom encounter leprosy, and I would bet that many of us do not have a spiritual framework that includes much demon possession. But we confront our own spirits and afflictions. The terror of climate change or mass shootings, the soul-corroding plague of white supremacy and racism, the chronic illness that thrives in conditions of poverty that seem to become only more and more entrenched. As the Christmas season winds down, as it comes to a close, I'm reminded of this snippet of a poem by Howard Thurman. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the king and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nation, to bring peace to all, to make music in the heart. And so may we have the courage this year to build toward wholeness together, leaving no one out, realizing that our freedom and healing can only be collective. Amen. Amen.
I heard outside.